Thank you for that fantastic reading. We're going to pray. Do keep your Bibles open. Lord, as we reflect on these words from Matthew's Gospel, will you open our hearts and minds, what you want to say to us today, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want you to talk in twos and threes and answer this question, or two questions. First question is, what would you do if royalty was coming to your house? What would you do if royalty was coming to your house? Secondly, what would you do if royalty was coming to St. Paul's today? So, what if royalty was coming to your house? What if royalty was coming to St. Paul's? So just buzz in groups for a couple of minutes.
Okay, I'm going to bring us together.
I'm
going to bring us together. So, anybody just want a few shout outs? If they were coming to your house, what would you do?
Clean.
Clean, yeah. Anything else? Get them to a nice clean coffee, yeah. Welcome them, yeah. The red carpet. So you get a special red carpet for your house. You just got one sitting in the cupboard, have you, Betty? That you just roll out just in case the king comes. Okay, good. Anyone else? Make sure the neighbours know. Oh, yeah. Guess who's coming round today? Yeah. Good. Anything else?
Cook food.
Cook some food. Yeah, cook some nice food. Okay, good. All right, what about if royalty was coming today here to St. Paul's? Hide. Okay. Hide. Any other thoughts apart from hiding?
Make sure
there's as many people in the church as possible. Yes, Simon.
Depends who it is. We might offer confession.
Very good. Depending on which member of the family comes, we might offer confession. Yeah. I think we do it anyway. I mean, it's a church service. We'll offer confession. But yeah, I know who you're talking about. Any other thoughts if a member of the royal family is coming today?
Get some special biscuits.
Special biscuits. Definitely with chocolate on. Okay, well. Sorry, say that.
Call in as many as you can.
Yeah. Well, I have some news for you today. We have royalty coming today to St. Paul's. So please, can we be upstanding? Please be upstanding for our royal guest. And please, can we have a round of applause for King Jesus? You can see now, or you could kneel. Maybe you want to kneel. Maybe you'd want to kneel, or you might want to bow. Or you might want to curtsy before royalty. So, King Jesus is here, and he's here every single Sunday, and he is with you every day by his Holy Spirit. On the first Palm Sunday, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, they were welcoming royalty. They started shouting Hosanna, and they were laying their cloaks and palm branches down before him. Jesus is the servant king. Jesus is the servant king. In our passage, the crowds were celebrating the fact that Jesus was royalty, their king, their ruler. They'd expected him to be a mighty warrior who was going to come and duff up the Romans and set the Jews free from the oppression that they were under. But Jesus was a different kind of ruler. He didn't come in a big golden carriage driven by the best horses. He didn't come with a big army to come and defeat the Romans. No, what did he come in? What was he riding on?
A donkey.
We probably wouldn't choose donkey. If we were going to go somewhere, we probably wouldn't pick a donkey as our first mode of transport, would we? Why do you think Jesus came on a donkey? Any thoughts? Shout out.
Humility.
Humility, I think he said. Is that right?
Yeah.
Humility, yeah. Any other thoughts why he might have come on a donkey? Because it was prophesied. Indeed, it was prophesied by Zechariah. We heard that read out. See, your king comes, gentle, riding on a donkey, on the colt or the foal of a donkey. Very good. I mean, in those days, you know, planes, trains, cars hadn't been invented. So the only way to get from one place to the other was essentially on the back of an animal or walking, which Jesus often did with his disciples. He could have chosen any animal, but he chose a donkey. And donkeys were ridden by rulers in times of peace. So a donkey would have indicated to people that Jesus was actually a kind of king who had come to bring peace, but maybe not in the way they had expected. He was showing that he was the Messiah that Zechariah, the prophet, had prophesied was going to come to save the Jewish people. And Jesus did come and bring peace. And he did save people. And he did that by being a servant, surrendering his life on a cross. Jesus, the servant king, died in our place. He died on a cross at Calvary. And then he rose from the dead so that we might have eternal life and life in all its fullness. So how should we respond to Jesus, our servant king? Well, for me, there's two main responses we're going to look at today. Number one is to give him praise. And number two is to give him worship. Praise. As Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the crowds were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Why were they saying these words in particular? Well, by calling Jesus the Son of David, they were calling him a descendant of the greatest king of Israel, King David. You remember, as a boy, threw the stone at Goliath and killed him. He was the one who was terrorizing Israel, but David, just a small boy, came and he shot the catapult, knocked over the giant. So that same David became the king of Israel. They thought that Jesus was the Messiah, the chosen one, the special person that God had said was going to come and save his people. And they thought that he was royalty. They thought that he was king. Israel had lots of kings, some good, some bad, over time. And at that point in time, there was kind of Herod, who wasn't really a real king, kind of ruling over Jerusalem, Judea, because the Romans had put him in place so they could have control over that area. But he wasn't really the king the people wanted. When they were saying Hosanna, that word literally means to save. So we're saying, like, God save the king, in the same way we would say God save the king. What happens when a team comes on the pitch in a football match? Cheers, everyone starts cheering, cheering on.
Not so many cheers yesterday for those that watched the England game, but anyway. So yeah, start cheering, yeah? And has anyone been to an England game before? Has anyone been to an England game? Okay, so you're on the England play, the crowd goes wild, everyone's coming, they're cheering on their team, they line up.
And then what comes next? National anthems, so we sing national anthems. So everyone stands. And,
oh, sorry, shouldn't do that. Where's the mic?
Stand, they might put their hand on their chest, and the mic starts going, God save our gracious King. I won't sing the rest, but you know the tune. You know the tune. And that's kind of basically what was happening on Palm Sunday. They were saying, God save our gracious King, as King Jesus was coming in to Jerusalem. They would have made a really loud noise. Think of how loud it is at a football stadium when the crowds are cheering. That's the kind of noise hopefully they would have had as Jesus was coming in, as people were waving their branches. When we're in church, it's important that we have times of silence. Silence is good. It's good to be quiet. But it's also good to be noisy. It's good to make a loud noise in church. It's good to praise God. It's good to have lively hymns and songs to sing along to, as well as more reflective ones. And it's good that we do that when we're in church. But it's also good that we do that when we're not in church. When we're at home or out and about, it's good to praise God all the time. King Jesus is worthy of our praise. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, he's always worthy of our praise. And if you don't already, I encourage you to build in some praise and worship to your kind of daily devotions when you pray and read your Bible. Spend some time just praising God as well. Put on a worship song off Spotify or YouTube, or if you're musical, get an instrument out and play it. And actually, when you do that, it helps you focus your attention on God. It helps you realize how big and amazing God is, and in comparison to maybe some of the things that we're trying to juggle in our lives. It doesn't just have to be singing. It could also just be saying, praise God, or Jesus is Lord, or thank you, Jesus. Especially when we pray for something and he answers our prayers. So that's praise. Then there is worship. In our story, the crowds were laying the palm leaves on the ground and their coats as well, which seems a bit bizarre. I wonder why they were doing that. Maybe... did they think it was a jumble sale coming up? Maybe? No? Something else, maybe? I think it was a bit like, Betty, you talked about the red carpet, I think. It's a bit like that, kind of laying down the red carpet when royalty came. You kind of lay down your coat, you know, if the king was coming and there was a puddle as they were stepping out of their nice golden carriage, you'd put your coat down so they wouldn't get their feet wet, wouldn't you? Well, you'd have your royal carpet, hopefully, to do that. So that's kind of what the worship was. And in the Old Testament especially, but also in the New Testament, when people worship, they worship with their bodies as well. They literally would get down on their knees and they would kind of bow down. And in the Bible, from those words that translated as worship, it's people bowing down. When the three kind of kings or magi came to worship baby Jesus, they bowed down before him to show their worship, their respect, their honor to Jesus. And something, that's something you could do, again, in your own kind of personal prayers, or even when you're in church. If you want to kneel, if you want to lay down, provided you're not tripping anybody up or, you know, blocking a fire exit, you can lay down in worship of Jesus, if that's what you want to do. But it's not just about our physical body. It's also laying down the things in our life that maybe we hold on to. Maybe there's things that we haven't quite given over to Jesus at this moment in time. Maybe Jesus is king of our homes and church, but maybe not at work or school. I wonder, is Jesus king of your relationships, your family, your friends? Maybe Jesus isn't king of some of our money, maybe even 10% of our money, but actually everything that we have comes from God, as we affirm every Sunday. It all belongs to him. Maybe it's some other area of your life where Jesus isn't king at the moment. So we've seen that King Jesus is with us every day, wherever we are. And it's important, because he is our king, that we offer him praise and we offer him worship. And in this moment, we're just going to have some silence. And after the silence, I'm going to say a prayer. And then we're going to bless the palms. And then we're going to have lots of loud praise and worship for us to worship Jesus freely. But before we do that, in the choir, just invite you just to spend some time reflecting. And if there's any areas of your life that the Holy Spirit brings up that currently Jesus is not king, just invite you to give those areas over to him now. So let's close our eyes as we pray. Holy Spirit, come and lead us now as we reflect on your kingship in our lives. Amen.